Hey, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. A good evening. It's been a while since we have met, but we'd like to get right back into things. Certainly, on a day like today, where, you know, a Chesed Shel Medina, our very special country, was thrown into such a scary moment of crisis in our nation's capital today, if you've been following the news, which you should have been, you know, certainly what we saw today at its basic essence was a lack of good midos. And something that all of those people could have benefited from was learning a little bit of Orchos Tzadikim. So we are going to be mechazik the world, we mechazik ourselves, and work on our midos, and hopefully in our small way, we will try to make ourselves a better and perforce make the world a better place. We are up to the chapters of the Shar HaRachvim and the Shar HaAchzarios. We're going to do two chapters tonight, and we're going to kind of envelop them together and mix and match to make it a little bit more clear. We're going to pull from both sections, Rachamim, mercy, Achzarius, cruelty. They are two sides sometimes of the same coin. And let's begin. Now, the Torah tells us that we should be v'halacht bidrachav, that we should walk in the ways of Hashem. Uvo sidbak, you should cling to Hashem, to be close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chazal asked in a number of places, how can I walk after Hashem? Hashem has no footsteps. How can I cling to Hashem? Hashem has no body. And Chazal teach us that even though Hashem is not physical, we can follow in His path by copying His actions, by copying His midos. And the expression they use is, Mahu chanun v'rachum af ata hayachanun v'rachum. Just like Hashem is merciful, so too you should be merciful. And that is our job tonight, to learn how to have rachamim, how to have mercy. Rachamim is one of the midos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that we find most famously in the Yud Gimel, midos rachamim, the 13 midos of mercy of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we find Hashem is described as v'rachamav al kol ma'asav, that Hashem has mercy for all of His creations. Now, logically, we should want to be more merciful, because we want others to show mercy to us, even when we're in need. So there is a bit of a selfishness in being merciful. If you show mercy to other people, they'll want to be nice to you in return. On the other end of the spectrum, cruelty, achzarius, is the opposite of rachmanis, of mercy. It is a midah which is not found in tzaddikim. Righteous people do not have cruelty in any form. Rachmanus, mercy, is a sign that you descend from Avram Avinu. The Gemara in Beitza says, "Kol merachem al abrios." If you are merciful to people, biyadua shu mizara shel Avram Avinu. We know that you are a descendant of Avram. V'chol mi she'enu merachem al abrios, whoever is not merciful on people, biyadua she'enu mizara shel Avram Avinu. We know that you are not a direct descendant of Avram Avinu. A way of showing mercy, says the Orch HaTzaddikim, is to speak calmly and to speak gently with other people. Yet there are times when every person can experience cruelty, like when a person is angry. Achzarius can overtake them. And when a person is angry, it's very difficult to show rachmanis. And therefore we need to stay far away from anger, because it turns us into cruel people. One who is cruel to other people will eventually be disliked. The opposite of rachmanis. If you're merciful, people will like you. If you're cruel to other people, then people are not going to like you, right? You want to make a joke. You think you're going to have a funny line. You think you're going to put somebody in their place. You're going to have a one-liner that's going to set somebody straight. That's cruel. What, so you can be funny? No one's going to like you when you say cruel things to other people. Now, there are different levels of mercy, says the Orch HaTzaddikim. The first is mercy that an animal has towards its child. Basic nature of all living things, that parents have a natural mercy towards their children. The next is the mercy of a boss to an employee or a neighbor to a friend, when you expect something in return. I'm going to have mercy on you because I want you to do a good job. I want you to be nice to me. And the higher level is that of rachmanis that a father, a human father, has for a child, for the sake of Hashem, in order to raise them in spirituality. Such a person cares most about the ruchnius of the child, more about the gashmius. We want that parents should care more about the spiritual well-being of their children than the physical well-being of their children. The Gemara in Erev and Chaf Beis says that one finds success in Talmud Torah if you have achzarius, cruelty towards your children, like a raven. Ravens don't take care of their children. What does that mean? Well, you should be cruel to our children? No. The idea is that if you have too much mercy on your children and you pity your child in every single thing they do, you're going to end up spending most of your time feeding your child's pursuits of gashmius, right? Every single time the kid says, oh, but it's not fair, I want this, and the parent gives in to them. And every single time the kid says, oh, but I wanted to have ice cream for dinner, and the parent gives in to them. So the parent thinks they're being merciful. But are they really being merciful? That's cruelty. You're training your child in order to be weak, in order to be have whatever they want, to be spoiled. You're not raising a healthy child. Sometimes achzarius, cruelty, so to speak, is needed to raise a healthy person. Because if a parent's simply giving and giving and giving and giving, what they think is rachmanus, mercy, is really going to be cruelty when that child grows up. The Orach HaTzaddikim speaks about physical punishments for children, hitting kids. But this is not acceptable nowadays. Rav Shlomo Volbe writes in the Alei Shor in Chelek Aleph that hitting does not work in our generation. Rather, we can accomplish the same thing by being firm with a child, showing displeasure, having proper consequences for inappropriate actions. It doesn't mean that parents should let things go or there shouldn't be consequences. Rather, the parent needs to learn how to give those consequences. But nowadays, there is no place ever for physical punishment for a child. Now, working to make more money for trips and cars and physical things. If a person does this, this will leave no time for your spiritual growth or the spiritual growth of your children. One of the most merciful things you can do for your children and your family is to become a good person. And the cruelest thing you can do for your children is to be a bad person. When you are good, then the people around you and your children and your family will be rewarded. And when you are bad, the people around you and your children will be punished. There are many Mamari Chazal that speak about how certain Averos can lead to one's children being punished, Rachman al-Islam. And this is a beautiful lesson from the Orach HaTzaddikim. Do you want to be merciful? Be a good person, because that will be nice to everybody around you. Do you want to be cruel? Then you'll be a bad person. And a bad person will end up causing pain and suffering for those around them. One should have Rachmanis on the poor. Even more Rachmanis on poor people who are Ovdei Hashem, who are sincere servants of Hashem. A cruel person doesn't help the poor or those in need. He'll not be bothered when others are suffering or in pain. And stealing is an outgrowth of cruelty. It's even worse to steal from those in need, those who are poor, those who are orphans, those who are widows, to steal and to take advantage of those who can't defend themselves. In fact, the Orach HaTzaddikim quotes in the Shari Tshuva and Shar Gimel, who says, Mi shemitzar yasam ve'almana begeza o behachlama uvechol minei tzar. Whoever causes pain and steals from widows and orphans, mischayev misi v'idei shemayim. He is chayev misi. He's chayev to be punished with death from heaven. Now, this is a big chiddush. We find no mention of this in the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch, but this is what the Rabbeinu Yonah says. Stealing from the poor is like a form of murder. However, when judging an ani, let's go to the other extreme. If a person needs to adjudicate a case, you're a judge in court, you need to decide about what's fair, you shouldn't have more rachmanis on someone who's suffering or poor than somebody else. When it comes to judging, you need to be fair. You shouldn't favor people. You should almost have achzarus, you should almost have cruelty, so to speak, in din. And never favor one side just because one side, you know, looks more nebuch or looks like they need an upper hand. When it comes to judging, you always have to be fair to both sides. One should have rachmanas on animals and not cause tsar balei chaim and be cruel to animals. Terrible, terrible thing that sometimes we're not aware of, to be cruel to animals, to do mean things to them for your own pleasure. This is a mitzvah d'oraisa, to not cause tsar balei chaim. And make sure, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, that your animals eat before you eat, that they're taken care of before you take care of your needs. Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva in his Yichav Adas in Chelek Gimel. He was asked about the permissibility of attending a bullfight. We all know what bullfights are, right? You've heard of them before? Like Ferdinand and, right? We've all read the book or saw the movie. So at the conclusion, after discussing why it's usher, because of Tsar Balei Chaim and supporting those people who engage in Tsar Balei Chaim, listen to the powerful words that Rav Avadya Yosef writes. He says, Aval Chalila, lalechas lemakomos shemishtaasheim b'masach zarios. God forbid that a person should go to a place where they enjoy or they take pleasure in cruelty al balei chayim of animals. V'hagormim lahatbia ba'adam midara. It causes a person to have bad midos, umushchas shel chzarios, and to be disgusting with cruelty, umashchas nafsho hu yaseni, you are destroying your soul. This is not how Jews behave. Jews do not behave by having cruelty towards animals. It's not fun. It's not funny. It's not something we do. We stay away from that, and we have rachmanas on all people and all things. Yes, Lily.
So should Jews not go to like a boxing match?
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. No. Definitely not. A boxing match is a totally antithetical thing for Jewish people. 100%, without question. The people... it's hard to know where to draw the line. It is a fair question about football. I think certainly the more we know about football and we know the brain damage that it causes and the terrible things that it does to human beings later on and the suffering and the pain that football players go through, one would have to really consider, you know, is the National Football League an appropriate place to be supported and to give your money to? It's definitely a fair question. No, obviously in boxing there's also a level of consent, but again, the point of football is not to hurt somebody, it's just the way the game is played, as opposed to boxing, which the point is to pummel the other person into a bloody pulp. You know, certainly that's us or without any questions. Yeah, Tamar. Without getting too much, I guess, into the details of the World Wrestling, Entertainment Organization, there definitely is a bit of acting involved, and it is planned out, but they are also, at the same time, real physically, going at each other. It's in a controlled environment. That as well. But the same idea. But even just as a Jew to go and to partake, again, I don't know how many Orthodox Jews go to WWE events. That would be an interesting survey. But, as a Jew to go and to participate and to watch and to take pleasure in someone doing cruel things to another person, what does that do to your neshama? What does that do to your sensitivity? You can't unsee cruel things. It's going to have an impact on you at the end of the day. No, we can debate from now until tomorrow about violent video games and whether they cause more violence, they don't cause more violence. But it's very hard for me to imagine that looking at violence over and over again and a person imagining and practicing in their mind that it doesn't give a person a lack of sensitivity and caring towards other people. It's hard for me to imagine that such a person could go through watching and observing all that violence. It doesn't mean I don't think they're going to go out and do something, an act of violence, but it definitely would play a role in their general sensitivity towards how we treat one another and how we treat other human beings and animals. I think that's for sure.
But also, what about action movies then? When people are getting hurt and,
I hear the question. I think a person needs to know where to draw a line. I'm not saying it shouldn't be entertainment, but a person at the same time needs to know there's action movies and there's action movies with, gratuitous violence. There's a line somewhere in between. Again, it's hard to say it's usser, but a person should understand that once your eyes see an image of an act of cruelty, it's not going to disappear. It's never going to go away. That's always going to be embedded on your psyche in some form. Tamar.
What do you say the
higher level of mercy is that which a father has for a child. A parent for a child in Avodas Hashem. That a parent cares for the spiritual well-being of the parents. That a parent cares for the spiritual well-being of the child. Okay, let's move on. I'm going to just go on a little bit more. I'll take questions later on and at the end, okay? One shouldn't have too much rachmanas, mercy for themselves. Instead, you should have, as the Orchos Tzadikim says, achzarious cruelty towards the body and push yourself to serve Hashem. You should have rachmanis on your neshama and not your body. Don't do things that will cause damage and pain to your neshama. And even when you're tired or hungry, we should train ourselves to do mitzvahs, learn Torah, even when it's not comfortable. So again, achzarius, so to speak, cruelty towards your body for the sake of pushing your neshama. You're tired and you don't want to daven, but you push yourself. That's having cruelty towards your body, but good for your neshama. That's what we're talking about. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in Perek Vav says, Kachi darcha shel Torah, this is the way of Torah, pas b'melach tochal, to have bread with salt, mayim b'meshura tishta, a little bit of water, v'la'aretz tishen, you should sleep on the ground, v'chai tsar tichayeh, and you should have a life of pain, u'b'torah ata amel, and to learn Torah. You push yourself. No one became great in learning, in spirituality, without pushing themselves physically, going a little bit more than they thought they could do. The Rambam says the same thing in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Gimel, that Torah will not be acquired by any person if you don't push yourself. And that's why it says in the Pasuk, Zos Torah Sa'adam Ki Yamas Bohel. This is the Torah of a person when he, again, the Pasuk is literally talking about someone who dies in a tent. What are the laws of Tumah and Tara? But the Chazal make a drasha. Zos Torah Adam Ki Yamas Bohel. Do you know when a person acquires Torah? Ki Yamas Bohel. When you push yourself almost until you think you're going to pass out. That's how you acquire. There needs to be a sense of achzari, so to speak. Push your body as far as you can for the benefit of your neshama. Abby. So that a person needs to be, balanced in some way. That means you need to speak to somebody who knows you. You need to ask advice. Say again. Everything comes in stages. Growth is through a ladder. You don't jump rings on a ladder. Even the Malachim, who had wings, they used a ladder to go up and down from Yaakov to Shemayim, right? They could have jumped with their wings, but they used a ladder because they wanted to show us that growth comes in steps. If a person has never davened before, I would not tell them to start davening three times a day. Pick one time a day. If a person doesn't like going to shirim or learning Torah, I would not tell them to go to a three-hour lecture. That's not going to do it. Small things, small steps, small jumps, small things you take upon yourself is the way to do it. But you push, and you push a little bit more, a little bit more. Do you know, I don't know if anybody here had the bridge spacer where they put on braces to make the bridge of your mouth a little bit wider. I don't know if anybody had to do that with a key that they turn in order to widen your mouth. So that little device, you don't push the mouth open all of a sudden.
A palate expander,
very good. So you don't push it open all the way. It's little notches every night, right? You push a little bit, and that expands the palate. Over time, it'll make a difference. But there's pressure. There's a sense of pushing, a sense of doing more. But it comes in little stages, like a palate expander. Okay, let's talk about another type of cruelty, and that is cruelty that moves a person to take revenge. If we learn that we shouldn't have a person in our hearts, hate a person in our hearts, in the Shar HaSinah that we spoke about last time, then we certainly may not take actions towards another person we are upset at. Okay? Another type of cruelty is Onas Dvarim, being Motzi Shemra. To say harmful things, to say cruel things to people, to remind somebody, says the Gemara, you remember when a person's a Baal Tshuva? I wonder if you could remind me how, lobster tastes. The person doesn't want to talk about that. They're a Baal Tshuva. They've tried to improve themselves in their lives. Don't go and say painful things, hurtful things. Words matter. And that's a form of cruelty, to make sure you say nice, comforting things, not hurtful things that hurt a person's feelings. If you lend something to someone or do them a favor, don't constantly remind them about what they owe you in return. I gave you a $20,000 loan so you could, do some work on your house. Oh, it's been 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. They know that they owe you money. Don't keep on reminding them. That's cruel. That's painful to them. Yes. Lily.
Let's say you lend someone $20 and your mom's pressuring you to get it back.
So then there's a way to ask. You ask once, you ask a couple of times, and that's it. But what we're talking about here is not that you shouldn't get the money that you're owed back. We're talking about, you know, the person's not supposed to pay you back for a year, for 3 months. But every single time you see them, how's that loan going? How's that money? So every single time they need to be reminded that you lent them something and now they're dependent on you, that hurts. Nobody wants to feel they're dependent on another person. Don't make employees do things that are difficult without their consent or have them do things which are cruel. Treat all workers with respect. Don't shame them. You know, I hope this is not true, but sometimes we hear about, you know, Jewish families who have maids in the house or housekeepers or babysitters, and they don't treat them nicely. Horror stories, chil Hashems, of people asking the help in the house to do embarrassing things, demeaning things, giving them crazy amounts of work and not paying them appropriately, not paying them on time. That's cruel. They're there as an employee. You treat them with respect. You make sure they have enough lunch breaks, time to relax during the day, time to themselves. They're people, human beings. They're not servants. We don't have servants anymore. We have people who are employees. They should be treated with respect. They're given time off. They're given vacations. They're allowed to take off for their religious holidays, whether it's December 21st or whether it's January 25th or January 1st. We need to treat all people with respect, especially non-Jewish employees, that they should be proud and happy to work for us and not go back to their families and other people they live with and say, oh, I can't believe the Jewish people treat us this way. We have to have rachmanis and never cruelty towards our employees and our workers. One should not have rachmanis, though, on rishayim, people who are evil, people who do the wrong thing. One should show achzarius, a sense of being firm towards rishayim, and pressure them to do tshuva. In addition, we see that there are people who are rishayim who shouldn't have rachmanis for, like Agag, right? Agag, who is the king of Amalek. What happened? Shaul HaMelech had mercy on him and didn't kill him. And what happened? He was able to have another child, and that led to Haman. Sometimes we need to be firm and not have rachmanas if it's not appropriate. Tamar. No, but first of all, there's a way to do things. There's a way to say things. There's a way to encourage people. And that just comes with tact and being sensitive and skilled. But here we're talking about somebody who does openly the wrong thing. We're talking about someone who behaves inappropriately, who is mean. We don't have rachmanis on them. We need to, if a person does something wrong, they should understand that they did something that was wrong and hurtful, again, and be told in the right way. If you are the right person to tell them. You know, the Stipler Gaon has a beautiful sefer on Chumash called the Birchas Peretz, which he wrote in memory of his father, whose father's name was Peretz. His father passed away when he was a young boy. So in Parshas Beshalach, he says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that it's usur to have rachmanas on someone who doesn't have das, who doesn't have any understanding. So the Stipler says, how could that be? If I have to have rachmanas, mercy on animals, so just because I have a unintelligent human being, I shouldn't have mercy on him? So the Stipler makes the following point, a very important idea. He explains that the Torah demands that we treat people in need a certain way. This includes helping the poor, those in need, hashavas havedu, returning objects, whatever it may be. This is not rachmanas, and this is clear, this is an important yesod you want to come out of here. Says the Stipler, mercy does not mean, rachmanas does not mean treating somebody the way they are entitled to be treated. We must certainly help those in need, whether when there's a mitzvah, right? The Torah is full of opportunities where we treat people in need and there's a mitzvah. Whether somebody has passed away and no helping out in the house, somebody is sick and bikracholim, returning a lost object, an orphan, a widow. There are many, many mitzvahs, a mitzvah bein adam lechavero, where you must help that person and treat them nicely. That is not rachmanus, says the Stipler. That's not what mercy is. Rachmanus means going lifnim mishuras hadin, going beyond the letter of the law, more than the Torah demands of us, meaning we feel the need to help even though we don't have to. There's no mitzvah that you have to do anything, but you want to go beyond the letter of the law and help that person. This is where Chazal say you should not have rachmanis on someone without das, without understanding. In addition, he says, ein bo das, someone who doesn't have das, doesn't mean a person who without any understanding at all, like a child. Of course you should help out a child. They have no idea what they're thinking about. Certainly such a person needs all of our mercy. Says the Stipler, we are talking about someone who doesn't have the das, the understanding, when someone has done something nice or the sense of humility when helped out. Instead, this person rejects those who are nice to them. He feels that he's entitled to everything he receives. And when this is clearly not the case, magiali, I'm entitled, I deserve everything I have. He takes advantage, he abuses people who try to help him. Having rachmanis on such a person will only increase their gaiva, their haughtiness. It will prevent their hakaras hatov. This person will continue to be cruel to others because they won't want to recognize what was done for them. And they will show greater hatred for those people who helped them. Therefore, Chazal say it's usher to have rachmanis in the above understanding of such a person. And this is important. There is no mitzvah to be abused. If you are trying to help someone, and they spit in your face, and they don't want to take your help, and you do things for them, and they're constantly putting you down, and not being kind in return, or not having appreciation, there is no mitzvah in the Torah to be abused. There is no place to have rachmanas if a person is taking advantage of you. And that is the letter, that is the meaning of the Stipler over here. This is the idea. There is no place for rachmanas if a person is being treated like a shmata in return. Now, the last point here. If someone harms you, don't take revenge, says the Orcha Sadikim. Become more righteous, become an even better person. And listen to a brilliant idea. Brilliant. He says, the greatest revenge you can do is to be a bigger mensch, to be a better person. Because the person who harmed you, who insulted you, is going to be livid, is going to be so upset that you have a shame tov, that you were the bigger person, you were the better man. And you're becoming even more beloved. But if you debase yourself, then the person who hurt you is going to be happy. Because they're going to say, look, I treated this person like garbage, because they are garbage. And look how disgusting they are. And they're going to fight back and forth. The greatest revenge, so to speak, you can have on a person who hurt you is to be nicer and sweeter and more caring. Again, not a shmata, not to be stepped upon. But the more you raise yourself up, the more irritating that's going to be for them, and it's going to make you into a better person, and eventually, we're going to leave you alone. So we have here a basic overview of Rachmanis versus Achzarius, when to be merciful, and when to stay away from cruelty, and in times, when to be cruel, and when not to have mercy.